One of Black History Month's key historical figures is George Washington Carver, the scientist and agricultural pioneer who became a national sensation when he testified in 1921 before Congress about the power of the peanut, convincing the government that America needed to protect this vital resource and invest in unlocking its biochemical properties.
What they didn't tell us in grade school about George Washington Carver is that he came across as unapologetically queer. Carver spoke to the flowers every morning, he shared a bed with his male lover, and he rubbed out the sore muscles of college athletes with his therapeutic hot peanut oil massage.
Today, comedian Matt Brown joins us to take a look at the scientist and mystic George Washington Carver. His pen pal friendships with married women, his romance with Tuskegee scientist Austin Curtis Jr., and working as a nutritional advisor to Gandhi.
Plus, Black Lives Matter, Stacey Abrams, and Jared Kushner all get nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
The Hollywood sign gets altered to read Holly Boob.
And Dolly Parton turned down the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Trump twice.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Dr. Carver, do you consider yourself a chemist?
We have to be very careful lest the ego comes in. A person that can bake a reasonably good cake or a reasonably good pan of biscuit can't go out and put up a shingle and say that they are good cooks. But they simply use the kettle or pan as a means to carry out the end. So I simply use the chemical laboratory to find certain things that I'm looking for. A laboratory is simply a place where we tear things to pieces. Sometimes we can get them together again if we want to put them together, and sometimes we can't. But nevertheless, we can pull things to pieces and get the truth that we are searching for. We can at least find out of what certain things are made, and which gives us information to do other things with.
Hello, Fausto. Hello, Fausto and Mark. It's Miss Brown. How are you?
Young man, may I interest you in the therapeutic benefits of a hot peanut oil massage?
Only if you use both hands.
Oh, he'll rub you the right way, that's for sure. Both hands, maybe a knee, a foot.
A knee? He's going to stick his knee in my ass. Okay, now it's not fun anymore. You almost had me.
Yeah, unfortunately, my George Washington Carver impersonation slowly morphs into Eartha Kitt, but who's complaining?
I think all of your impersonations end up in Eartha Kitt.
Why wouldn't they? Why would they
that
not?
Wonderful growl.
Your Shelley Winters ends up as Eartha Kitt. Oh, I'm too fat. I can't swim. Oh, we're going to die in here. Oh, it's Christmas and I'm pairing. Like, you just go there by the end of every set.
Manny.
Now do it as Eartha.
Manny, I want you to go to Israel and tell them about our love.
Aww.
Remember me as a peacemaker.
They're already having a war. Why do we need to ruin their day?
With Shelley Winters showing up.
Oh, me and Fausto are going to get married. He's going to throw me in the water like Montgomery Clift.
Well, today is Mark Fillion's birthday. It is also the beginning of Black History Month and Groundhog Day. So we thought it would be perfect to talk about George Washington Carver with Matt Brown.
Yeah.
And, you know, me and Mark also need to talk on his birthday because we've also both started the beginning of this month by fucking a bunch of black dudes and groundhogs.
With peanut oil.
With peanut oil, because listen, it'll break a condom, but not your heart.
I'll never forget one of the funniest things you've ever said to me. I was telling you as a little boy, I said, you know, my dad used to sit and watch the football game. He'd open up a can of Kohler beer, and back in the day it was a steel can, and it was like, you know, you'd have to take a bottle opener and kind of like stick holes in the can, right? And he'd have a cigarette or a pipe or a cigar there, and as a little kid, he'd walk away. And so I'd go over, I'd take a swig of the Kohler beer, take a puff of the cigarette, you know, I'm 4 or 5 years old, and then walk away and blow the smoke out. You just look at me, he goes, and you say, that's why black people like you, Mark. because of that.
Well, that's why. That is why.
And Foster looked kind of confused. Cindy's just like, why is that?
We need to listen. Our childhoods were strangely similar. A lot of kids around. Like, it's like that Richard Pryor joke. There were all kids, no parents.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there were just a lot of kids around, and you were drinking beer and smoking cigarettes and probably lighting them off the stove if your mom was in the other room. And
how did you know?
Because it's why my eyelashes are short and I glue fake ones on, because I grew up lighting them off the stove.
Did you have a gas stove or an electric one?
It depended where we lived.
Oh, we had an electric one, and we would light them off the stove, too.
How do you light a cigarette with an electric stove?
You get it hot. It's kind of like you just like the cigarette lighter in your car back in the day.
Oh, that's
you just get it hot. The cigarette lighter in the car back in the day, you could light a cigarette off it, but you can't light joints off of it because the oils will really fuck it up.
Yeah. It's weird because, like, in my house where I live now, I have both gas and electric like burners, and I always choose to light a cigarette off the gas. It's just easier.
Wait a second. You have a stove that has gas and electric?
Yeah. In my kitchen, I have 9 burners. 5 of them are gas, and then 4 of them are electric, and then the electric burners are the oven's electric as well.
Do you have 2 stove tops or just this is all one?
No, I have 2 stove tops.
That's unusual for an apartment.
Never heard of such a thing.
No, it's not an apartment. It's a 2-bedroom house, baby.
Oh.
Miss Brown's living it up.
I had no idea.
We're very elegant now.
You have an upstairs kitchen and like a downstairs kitchen or something?
No. My kitchen's just big. And like it's
Lived there? There was an Italian woman that lived there. Every Italian family I knew growing up, they all had 2 stoves. Usually one was in the basement, and that's when you cook like your big sauces and do all your canning that.
I really don't know why the house is built like this. In my mind, the kitchen is like that. It's like built for like a married couple who work different shifts.
Maybe.
Like, you know? So there's always a clean stove that no one had to like, you can just like, you use the gas, I use the electric, don't fuck with my shit.
Mm.
Well, it's Mark's birthday today, and you're turning 29, never 30.
Yes.
Always. And you're celebrating by, again, eating delicious pastry, which is, we call those weekdays, right?
I picked up some pastries today. Yeah.
Mark, I will tell you, there is going to come a point when you're going to stop lying about your age, because even your fake age is going to upset you.
That's happened to me. Yeah.
Even your fake age gets so old, it's just like, this is a joke. This is disgusting. I need to be stopped.
Well, I don't trust any celebrities' Wikipedia entries if they were written like 20 years ago or 15 years ago. Because like even mine has the wrong birthday in it.
Ooh.
Yeah, just for the record.
When Keira Knightley was 18 for like 7 years? Remember how she was an actress in England and she was 18, and then she was in the Pirates of the Caribbean 5 years later and she was 18, and then she was a leading lady on her own and she was still 18. She was 18 for as long as I was on Grindr.
How old are you on Grindr now?
On Grindr, I'm my real age. I'm 23.
Oh.
But I was 18 since 8th grade. Now.
There's people listening to this right now. They're like, liar.
Well, I did learn a long time ago that age is just a little number you sometimes have to lie about.
Oh yeah. And if it benefits you for people to think you're older in a certain situation, use that. Whatever is good for that moment. Listen, life's short. Get what you want and go home.
If people are celebrating you and exaggerating or aggrandizing your achievements, who are you to stand in the way of them wanting to lift you up?
Yeah. Like
George Washington Carver.
Yes.
Who is
if they want to stick their hand on your ass and push you up in the air, you just take it.
George Washington Carver was always, to this day, is credited as the peanut butter man. That people think that he invented peanut butter. He did a lot of amazing things. He lived an amazing life, where we're going to talk about in a minute here. But one thing he did not do was invent peanut butter. Mm. That was done by the Aztecs and Mayans.
Mm. And it's kind of like a peanut paste. But when you think about how peanut butter is actually produced today, I think they trace it back to like 3 people in Canada. Canada kind of takes the credit for being like, we're the ones that created the process for making peanut butter today.
Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Mm. Marcellus Gilmore Edson developed a patent in 1884. long before George Washington Carver. He basically developed peanuts to have a consistency like butter or lard or ointment.
I like the chunky stuff, though. So what did he ever do for me?
I've heard you say that so many times, Mark.
Now, this all began this conversation because on social media, you were like, people with peanut allergies are racist.
No. I did not make a declamatory statement. I posed a question to the internet. Yes. And because my social media is full of comedians, I said, does anybody have a joke? Because I honestly think people talking about food allergies on stage is pretty like commonplace. Yeah. So I asked, does anybody have a joke where they say people who have peanut allergies are racist because George Washington Carver did not invent peanut butter for one out of every one white child to be too good for it.
we have around the corner from us the I call her the peanut witch. There's a woman who I think I saw one woman put it out there before, and she's for the past 20 years she's been putting peanuts out for the squirrels, and so the whole like front yard is just covered with peanuts. And you know, we live by a school and there's kids who go by that every day, and I'm just like, I always look at it as though it's some kind of like Armageddon for some kid who's gotten that peanut allergy. Like they're just like Hansel and Gretel, they're just walking through and then all of a sudden just bam, they get attacked by all these peanuts and they're gone.
That's funny. She really puts truth to the phrase like that someone's nuttier than squirrel shit.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, too, is like she thinks she's doing the squirrels a favor by putting out these peanuts. But the thing is that squirrels collect way more food than they actually ever need, you know, and so they're burying it in everybody's pots and their plants.
Oh, so squirrels have the food waste problem and not us. That's who we're going to pin this on.
They store it in their cheeks.
Well, but they also bury it underground and they bury so much that they don't know. They forget where it is.
Did you know that's why RuPaul says, hey, squirrel friends?
Why?
Because they're always tucking their nuts away.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I learned that this week, too.
I thought it was because squirrels sounds like girls.
Well, because in the late 80s and early 90s, Valley Girls used to go, hey, squirrel friend. And then it got adopted to drag queen.
Oh, yeah. And then it was like the tucking of the nuts. I thought it was because every squirrel gets their nut.
Because they hide their nuts, you know. Yeah.
Wait, so is this like the reverse of the normal situation where white girl, Valley Girl culture came into our world instead of them taking our shit?
Oh, yeah. RuPaul, half of the things RuPaul says comes from like white Valley Girls in California. Like even Louise Hay, she's a white woman. God, half of the things that RuPaul says.
See, that's why I like old white Judith women. They Butler. Have personality. They might put a cigarette out on me, but they have personality.
Like you would just like to sit around and just talk to Fran Lebowitz all day, wouldn't you, Matt?
Well, Fran says that the reason she's the kind of conversationalist she is because all of her friends were gay men when she came to New York in the 70s. So she's a lesbian with our gifts. God bless someone who can work both sides of the fence.
Listen, we got to get back to talking about George Washington Carver.
Yeah,
and these hot, peanut oil massages, because that's for real.
Oh, one second here. So, Matt, what exactly do you know about George Washington Carver? Because this is what blows everybody's mind away. Okay. It's like they have a kind of a superficial knowledge. Yeah.
This is really fucking sad because I have an entire fucking degree in black studies and I know rather little about the man.
People don't know anything about him.
What I do know about him from school is not that he invented peanut butter. I like saying that because everyone thinks that. But my understanding is that he sort of, as far as agriculture was considered in the South, sort of brought peanuts to the forefront as sort of something you could use to rotate your crops and keep your, you know, soil fresh. He sort of brought that to the forefront, and then many uses for the peanut that went beyond what we're going already. I always figured that he was a sister because let's just put it that way.
Let's actually, for people who are listening to this podcast for the first time, have never heard of George Washington Carver. They know him as a peanut butter man from school. Let me play George Washington Carver talking about hot oil massages in his own voice.
There's jazz, so you know it's real.
When I was in college at Ames, Iowa, I had charge of a football squad and a running squad. I was the professional rubber in those days. We called them rubbers. We call them masseurs now because it's more dignified and sounds better. But we called them robbers.
It's a cabaret show.
No, not Cicely Tyson, Fausto. George Washington Carver. I think you just played me a Mom's Mabley record.
Mom's Mabley.
That is a clip from NPR, but this is a audio from an interview with Glenn Clark in 1939, which has been archived and put in the libraries of Congress for preservation. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, with the technology that we have today, we're able to clean up the sound and actually be able to use it on the podcast.
I love how you talk about 1939 like it was before electricity, like everyone's grandparents are dead and like no one from that year is still alive.
Oh, you don't understand. It's like, so much.
It's almost 100 years
of how we think about music and radio and television and recording things. All changed because Bing Crosby didn't want to record his shows live. He was a huge star at the time, and he basically said, well, if we can record the movies, why can't we do that with radio, Pally? And so he bought a company for microphones and recording equipment, and he single-handedly pioneered the technology to make radio programs to record things. First, with magnetic tape. And so back in 1939, a lot of these things were not recorded in that method. And so, they degraded tremendously. Like there was things done with wax cylinders and shit like that. But I think this interview was actually transcribed to a phonograph record, but still the quality was really, really poor. And so,
I had to listen to classical music recorded on wax cylinders to learn how to sing properly.
Like the castrati, right?
Not castrati, but just like vocal technique has deteriorated in a big way. And a lot of the great, great singing was done in the 30s and 40s on shitty materials.
And that's the thing with George Washington Carver, and part of the reason why in elementary schools across the country, they don't talk about his life in detail or his intimate life, because he was an unapologetic sissy. And he had a very high-pitched voice. He had a very unusual demeanor for being a black man at the time. And despite all this, people adored this man. He was insanely charismatic.
I don't think we don't know anything about his private life because he was gay, because I don't know anything about anyone's private life from history class.
Well, also, too, I think that there's some black erasure is probably a big part of it.
Huge controversy. And the reason
to a point, but I don't know anything. I do not know anything about Harriet Tubman as a woman. I don't know anything about.
You don't know what kind of porn she watched. a lot of people on the internet, if you read the comments, they're all saying that George Washington Carver was castrated by the family that he was born into, the slave owners. Mm-hmm. He was born a slave in Missouri. And he was too young to been castrated at the time, and there was really no need. And the act of castrating did cost money and time and effort, and that's not something he would have done. And it's well documented that he suffered multiple bouts of whooping cough, which left his vocal cords damaged. And that's why he had that high sounding, unusual voice. And certainly besides all that, George Washington Carver was raised by a midwife who was a naturopath. She was some believe that she was a Wicca. And she was very influential in teaching him about his spirituality and love for nature. And so throughout his life, he said that all the answers to life's most difficult questions can be found by talking to the flowers.
Ooh.
So he was somebody who was very unusual for his time period. He didn't fit in traditional scientific circles of the time, because not just because he was a black man, but also because he was a mystic.
I would like to meet the homo that made up the lie that he's castrated, because they're going to spend the money to castrate a slave. And then also, okay, so how does he find out about peanut oil? Because he's trying to fit everything in the plantation up his ass to have an orgasm. I'm not dealing with this. He found his prostate by necessity. What a genius. Could you get out of my house?
And I think that's part of the reason we don't know as much as we should about George Washington Carver, despite him being like a celebrity of black history, because, he is in a lot of ways a controversial figure, even in year 2021.
True. I mean, really think about it. A flower sniffing, cock sucking sissy. Down in Alabama, they give him all these books and all this education so he can go stick a peanut up his ass. Mm. I mean, I understand the rage.
You know, and he had a lot of friendships with both black and white married women.
But wasn't he biracial?
Don't know if that he was, but he was definitely, you know, black. And
yeah.
And so he developed a lot of his friendships, you know, correspondences with these women. And there were very deep friendships. They were not romantic letters, you know, so you can go.
Wait,
and
so he had a fag hag through snail mail.
Yeah, people used to write long letters to each other. Yeah, just he spill had their Pony hearts
Express
out to each
fag
other.
Hag. That's hilarious.
George Washington Carver, had he been born a white man, he may have contributed more to science and probably died in relative obscurity. But in 1921, he was invited by the Peanut Farmers of America to speak, to testify before Congress. And they were just, when he testified before them, they were all kind of shocked that this like very unusual man comes before them to represent an entire industry. And he brought with him like peanut brittle, peanut snacks to talk about how amazing the peanut is. He said before Congress that we have just begun to untap the power of the peanut. And one of
he's like, my nuts can do anything. My nuts are limitless.
And so this racist guy from the North, this senator from the North said, oh, do you want to untap the power of like the watermelon too? And he did not flinch. He responded and said, you know, I guess the watermelon would make a good dessert. Sure. But we've learned that we can go without dessert because of the war. And then everybody took him seriously at that point.
He's basically like, you want to shut the fuck up or you want to shut the fuck up?
Yeah. And so because of that moment in 1921, normally they only give people like 15 minutes. He spoke for hours about the peanut and putting tariffs on importing foreign peanuts that I believe only until like Donald Trump came into power, fucked that up for peanut farmers in the United States. Up until Donald Trump becoming president, we exported more peanuts than we imported them. Same with goes with soybeans and a lot of grains. And Donald Trump putting his stupid trade wars actually kind of hurt peanut farmers in the United States from exporting their goods.
Down with Whitey.
So George Washington Carver, you know, at the time became this like sensation. Time magazine in 1941 put him on the cover and called him the Black Leonardo da Vinci.
Wow.
They have to compare us to somebody. We can't just be us and be brilliant. We have to be the Negro, somebody else.
Well, it was a way to explain this very unusual person to the public, to the white public. You
know, I'll explain it real slow up their ass.
Well, because you think of the peanut and it's like something you eat, right? And so he looked at it as something that you not just eat. It is something you can make a bunch of other stuff from. And I remember reading stories of like he made a lot of different paints and stuff from it. And he would
Yeah, it's not a peanut. It's my wife. I've heard it.
But he'd go to people's homes, you know, these black farmers in the South. And he's just like, I'm going to paint your building. And they're like, what? He's like, I developed this paint. I want to see how it works. And it was him and a paintbrush, and he'd go and he'd paint their barn or their house, and then he'd come back every year to kind of see how it developed.
And the thing about George Washington Carver is that he was somebody who developed friendships with some very racist people at the time.
Ooh, like who?
Thomas Edison and Henry Ford. I mean, Henry Ford was a Nazi.
Well, if you're black and you don't use your power to do that, you're a Momo. That's your fucking job. That's your fucking job.
Like, why? How was this even possible? Here is this very queer, very high-pitched, nature-loving. He always wore little flowers in his clothing.
That he would talk to.
When you are so many weird things at once, like, because it's not just the black thing. It's not just the scientist thing. It's not just the gay thing. When you're 419 weird things that no one knows how to handle at once, they can't, like, have an anxiety attack in their fucking three-piece suit. So they just kind of chill out.
So it's like the Three Stooges effect. They can't enter the door at the same time.
like, if you are so weird that they can't exercise all their prejudices at once because no one can, like, they just don't have it in them, then you just kind of get to be a human because they've never met anything like you before because you're everything at once.
You can't fit into a category.
Yeah, there is no category, so there is no prejudgment, so there is no any ism, because all you know is me, bitch. Like, that's why I don't do pronouns, and I don't do a lot of categorizations on stuff, because it's me. You need to know about me. There is no, oh, I'm going to tell you this, and you're going to understand something. Uh-uh. Sit down, have a drink, let's learn something.
Well, Matt, as you read about George Washington Carver's life, do you feel like you really personally relate to it?
I feel like I can relate to being pointed out as a young person who's going to go somewhere and getting the right attention. I can point out to being treated like sort of the special Negro. I can relate to the people trying to completely ignore or hide or minimize the sexuality or gender complications of you in order either for them to accept you, for them to promote you, or for them to work with you. I can see a lot of that because one of the myths about racism is that we experience progress, that things get better. And that doesn't really happen. The same types of treatment just change. You get access to new places, you know, time updates, culture updates. But that man was born, you know, 150 years before I was. And in my professional life, I don't, like, I'll never be that accepted or recognized as that gifted. But I just mean from the point of just being singled out and having to deal with that and everything that comes with that at times, when you're not like everybody else, yeah, it's still the same road. It's still the same road. It's still the same black road. It's still the same gay road.
And a lot of times, I think, you know, overcoming adversity or resilience, we need to rely on remembering the stories of people who've had much more difficult lives than we've had and still gave back so much to humanity and so much unconditional love to all people that he met. George Washington Carver was a very kind and gentle man. And, you know, and I think part of his appeal to racist people, unfortunately, was that he did not criticize the status quo. He, in fact, was kind of like lift your own bootstraps culture, because he was providing black farmers who were starving to death at the time with the means of self-sustenance. He was not challenging the status quo to say, hey, these people need jobs, you need education, you need to break down those boundaries.
At least he's not known for that.
Well, there is, I think, a lot of validity to his approach and also to mine, yeah, in that you can get a lot of work done from inside the structure. If you are willing to take a little bit of the ear beating and a little bit of the abuse that it takes to be around powerful people and to be in mainstream situations, if you're willing to just take that on the chin as a part of the job.
Is that why you do this podcast?
No, that's why I do the podcast on your birthday.
So if you kind of work within the system is what you were saying. Sorry.
If you work within the system, if you are willing to kind of make the sacrifices it takes to be a weirdo and get into mainstream things, you can actually make a lot of progress, mm-hmm, not only for you, but for other people who want to follow in your path and other people to be inspired by, mm-hmm, it. Because if you work within only within the spaces of they treat me well and they respect everything about me, yada, 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 the smaller your reach, the smaller your effect. And if you actually are interested in making things better for other people, if that is something that you do care about, because not everybody does, it's not everyone's position, that's fine, then you do sort of have to learn to sacrifice some things so that other people can benefit. I've gotten to experience that in my 5 stupid years in Chicago. And, you know, I just hope as more and more people get to like me that, you know, again, if it makes the one little gay kid want to use their voice, that's what I hope this podcast does. If all we do is inspire, if George Washington Carver inspires one little gay black kid that he can be a scientist and he can change a lot of people's minds about shit, if all it does is just encourage the next one, that's why we're all here.
George Washington Carver did not give a fuck.
couldn't be bothered.
He couldn't be bothered. You know, he was like, at a certain point in his life, he was running the Tuskegee Institute, not to be confused with the Tuskegee Technical Institute from Star Booty.
Tuskegee Technical Institute.
But the Tuskegee Institute, he was running the agricultural department, and he just brought in his lover, Austin Curtis, to live with him. And in his will, he basically gave all his materials and bequeathed like all his positions and roles. And unfortunately, when he died, the Tuskegee Institute was like, we got to get rid of this faggot. And they basically kicked him out. Oh. Isn't that sad?
Well, because here's the thing. In George Washington Carver's will, it was a very short document. He wrote, leave it all to Whitey. And he thought they would get it. And he wasn't very specific, so the wrong Whitey took everything.
Well, it was the Booker T. Washington's Tuskegee Institute, which was a
Don't
very
you love how we all have three names? What? Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver.
Miss like Matt
we
all have 14.
I keep changing everything. No, it's Miss Brown Comedy on Instagram, missbrowncomedy.com, Miss Brown Comedy, Miss Brown is coming to town.
Mm. Yeah, I guess, you know, and like growing up in Puerto Rico, that's another thing that I always noticed is that everything had Roosevelt in it. And part of it is like for a lot of people living in these communities that were at odds with the white patriarchy in the United States, when they had a president or political leader that was very progressive or spoke and actually alleviated some of the suffrage for these communities, they would honor them by naming their children or their streets or the buildings by them. So,
don't you love when you can tell everything about someone's family by their name? Like, I love when I meet like a Puerto Rican or a Cuban guy like your age and his name's like Vladimir Sergio Ramirez de Anda. Like, it's like, we know what side your family was on. I know about your grandpa. Shit.
Well, in Ecuador, we used to work with a bunch of Ecuadorians, and the guys all had presidential names. I worked with a guy, his name was Nixon. I worked with somebody, his name was Washington, another Roosevelt.
It's meant Truman. To be sophisticated, too. Yeah. It's not meant to be trite. Mm. You know, and like, I know plenty of people and buildings and streets named Roosevelt in Puerto Rico, you know. They say Roosevelt. Rubel.
Well, that's the Spanish equivalent of Baltimore. Where you just take all the syllables out. Well,
Lin-Manuel Miranda, in his upcoming film adaptation of his Tony Award-winning musical, In the Heights, the main character is called Usnavi, which is U.S.
After
Navy.
After the first ship she saw. Usnavi.
But you know Puerto Rican's name, Usmael.
Well, that's also that name and that character is based on a very famous character in Puerto Rican literature, Usmael, which is U.S. male.
I didn't know that they were making a movie out of In the Heights. Yeah, I want to be the guy who sells the heladería to the children. I want to be like the piragua, piragua, new block of ice, piragua. That guy for like one scene. If you remember him, if you ever saw him.
Piragua, piragua, new block of ice, piragua, 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 so sweet and nice, piragua.
The film's been in the can for a long time, but they just haven't released it yet because of the pandemic, because they want to do a theatrical release.
Well, good. There's time to reshoot my scene.
But the lead character is super cute. I forget his name, but he's adorable.
Oh, honey. Anthony Ramos. He's gorgeous.
Everyone in that musical kind of has to be hot for it to work. Mm.
It's going to be amazing, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. So, you know, it's, oh my God, please. I'm a big, big fan. I'm actually a bigger fan of In the Heights than Hamilton, you know, so, but unfortunately it's being postponed so much. Come on, baby.
Bring it out.
I'm a bigger fan of summer stock and high school theater than I am of Hamilton. Mm.
So what's your favorite, how do you like to consume peanuts? What's your favorite form of the peanut?
I just like to get most of my nutrition through suppositories.
So you just cigarettes and coffee.
Now, when you eat peanuts in the shell, do you eat the shell too, or do you just eat the what's inside?
Well, the shell is the suppository. You know how they work, right? You put it in your ass, it breaks up, your life's better or worse.
George Washington Carver, one of his favorite dishes to make and promote was boiled salted peanuts, very much like the way Japanese edamame. And he even made like tofu from peanuts as well. And as an agricultural scientist, he laid the foundation for the study of biochemistry and artificial dyes. So, you know, it can be argued that a queer person laid the foundation for the rainbow, and those rainbow flags that we fly at parades today may not have taken place, or may have taken place later, if it had not been for the efforts of this queer black man.
He paved the way for like a lot of stuff. Again, dyes, like important things. Another thing that he did that not a lot of people know about is George Washington Carver added the phrase, "I'm gonna nut" to the English language.
I wouldn't doubt it.
So here's a list of peanut dishes and products that George Washington Carver actually developed. And I want your reaction to this, okay?
Okay.
So he developed a coffee that was caffeine-free that was made from roasted peanuts and chicory.
I would do that.
Listen, I've had chicory, and they're like, it tastes like coffee. And I guess during the war, they used a lot of it and stuff like that. And I'm like, I've had chicory coffee, and like, I don't like it. It's not coffee. Forget about it.
He made a beverage out of peanuts.
Like almond milk, but with peanuts.
Exact. Peanut punch. That actually sounds pretty good, actually.
That sounds repugnant.
He developed gasoline from peanuts and insecticides.
This was like gasoline made in like 1900. What kind of car would it work on?
I don't know.
Like, let's ask the important questions.
He developed 19 different synthetic dyes for leather and 30 different synthetic dyes for textiles.
That's how many different colors of brown there are, and that's how gay he is.
Well, that's the thing about those synthetic dyes, actually. That's where you get... Up until that time period, if you wanted something red or purple, it was really, really difficult to do. And so the development of synthetic dyes allowed these bright colors to become part of our fashion.
You know, it'd be a really funny 15-second TikTok if, okay, me, you, and Mark, like, I don't know, you guys work in a tapestry store, like a medieval tapestry store. It's like the year 1600s. And I ask you for like a taupe and indigo-edged rug, and you just slap me. Like, I just ask for shit that doesn't exist.
Well, you know, when you look at like red, like the red coats, right? Like the British soldiers, that dye was relatively new, and they got it from Oaxaca from those cochineal bugs.
And it was expensive to produce.
Yeah.
I know purple has always been expensive. That's why it was always considered like the color of royalty. Mm. Indigo and anything violet tone's always been rather difficult to do.
And now it's associated with strong black women and the book and film The Color Purple.
Which royalty? What's the problem?
Yeah, it's the goddess color.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Purple's also, it's tied to the history of royalty, and I think, you know, in fashion.
Well, if black women invented yellow, the opposite's purple, which is equally flattering. So once again, nothing but logic. Black queens, nothing but logic.
One thing that I found really interesting was that Bayard Rustin, who knew of Gandhi's teachings of nonviolent political resistance, influenced Martin Luther King Jr. tremendously. And earlier, George Washington Carver briefly served as a nutritional advisor for Gandhi. So I'm wondering if there's a connection between Bayard Rustin, the gay right-hand man to Martin Luther King Jr., and George Washington Carver, who actually worked with...
Who went on hunger strikes and didn't eat and wore a diaper. He told him not to fucking eat. He said, if you eat two peanuts, it's technically still fasting, but you'll be full.
Well,
fill out that diaper in a minute.
He was vegetarian, right? Yeah, or vegan. Yeah. So it's like, you got to get your protein from somewhere.
And then after he got done raping a stranger and beating his wife, he was like, oh, that's a good idea. Gandhi was a real great guy. He treated women beautifully.
Yeah, he was not considered by today's standards as a very good to the relationships that he was. And he also, I guess, requested women to like sleep with him naked.
In a big giant pile.
Yeah.
Like there was like 30 women in him in a bed.
But part of me also thinks this is a way of discrediting his political movements. Yeah.
No, that's not something I have in common with him. What I do have in common with him is that I have a whole lot more to offer a group than one person. Give me an audience, not a boyfriend.
So I want to leave you here before we start talking about other things here. It's probably my favorite George Washington Carver quote. He said, "How do I talk to a little flower? Through it, I talk to the infinite. And what is the infinite? It is the silent, small force. This is not the outer physical contact. It is not that. The infinite is not confined to the visible world. It is not in earthquakes, the wind, or the fire. The infinite is that still small voice that calls up the fairies.
Oh.
That's beautiful. Oh.
I started crying when I read that.
I really have a follow-up question, though. You just read to me, literally sounds like it could have been out of like the diary or letters of St. Teresa. She's like St. Teresa of the Little Flower, and she always talked about like the little way to the heart of Jesus, and it's not about making a big production of your belief, but in that quiet stillness and security that you have in your own, that's the little way to the proper path. That's like literally, it's very similar phrasing. It's beautiful.
Like Mr. Rogers, George Washington Carver is somebody who deeply inspires and moves me, and I wish we saw more of that sensibility today.
Sometimes it is wise not to look for too much appreciation. The main thing is to be sure you're right and go ahead, regardless of whether people appreciate it or whether they don't, because in time, they will appreciate it. So simply be sure that you are on the right road.
So the name of the book is The Man Who Talks with the Flowers by Glenn Clark, who chronicles their friendship with George Washington Carver and really goes in deep in talking about his sexuality, his hot peanut oil massages, and his love for talking to the flowers and to athletes of Iowa State University, which, by the way, were not just all black athletes. Like, he was massaging.
He was jerking off everyone.
Jerking off everybody. Because, you know what? He had a lot of love in his heart.
He had two hands.
Now, we don't know if he was jerking them off.
Well, he was being therapeutic.
Yes.
And seriously speaking, though, he developed, like, treatments for polio at the time with special massage techniques. And he also, showed that some of these botanicals could actually be very therapeutic with people with neurological and muscular issues.
I completely believe you, but I'd also like you to humor a situation. Okay? Just listen to me. And the reason I'm asking you is because you and Mark are both very highly educated men, yes. So you can relate to being in this position. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you're George Washington Carver. I'm a football player.
Damn.
I find out that you give hot oil massages, and my shoulder is just fucked up. If I'm laying on my back, exactly, okay, if we start the massage at noon, what time are three of your fingers in my butthole if we're starting at the shoulder? If you're George Washington Carver and I'm a football player, and you have peanut oil, which of Mickey's hands, like, where is the big hand? By the time you have three fingers in my butt.
Well, as soon as they give consent, I would say, that's when that would happen. But also, too, it's like, I'm not going to, lure somebody into that, somebody get them naked, start massaging them.
Okay, and then be like,
oh, you want
remember,
it now? You want it
in
now?
This situation, that's not fair to in people. This situation, it's 1880.
Okay. 1880 and consent doesn't matter anymore.
Well, no, we're talking about
consent.
He was a
did
huge
not exist
star.
In 1880. Being gay didn't exist in 1880, so consent sure didn't exist.
I mean, he was giving the massages after he spoke to Congress in 1921.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, so he was doing it with soft, wrinkly hands that had written many books. And
he was like, people knew who this guy was. Yeah. You know, he was like, before Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, Bill Cosby did not rape anybody in Philadelphia. We get it.
He was considered somebody who was very spiritual, very sacred, and very kind and gentle.
Mm. Like Walter Mercado, kind of?
You can watch footage of him speaking and interacting with people, and you can see that his demeanor is very intentional. Kind of like Mr. Rogers, And
yeah,
there's a lot
of
rumors.
You get that same kind of sense from him. There's that gentleness and that kindness from it. So, we like to make fun of him giving these hot peanut oil massages, and maybe it was a sexual thing to some component of it.
But I have a hard time believing or understanding that he was taking advantage of these athletes.
Yeah.
I don't think he was taking advantage of them. If you like smart people and he sounds like a girl and you close your eyes really tight,
And that hot peanut oil just feels so good.
The peanut oil's really warm. He sounds like a girl. His hands are really soft. He's got long nails. God. You just sort of think about your nanny and close your eyes really tight. And then maybe you suck on his titty after you come. Maybe. I don't know. That's the scene that I wrote in my mind.
Speaking of titties, did you see that six people got arrested because they changed the Hollywood sign in Hollywood, California? You know, the big iconic sign on the side of the mountain. They changed it to Holly Boob.
That is the dumbest waste of time and stupidest reason to go to jail. Like, honestly, go fucking do crystal meth. If you're going to go to jail overnight, go do crystal meth and get caught. Okay. Like, do something fun.
Trying to raise awareness for breast cancer.
Yes.
In quotation.
Everybody knows about breast cancer. There's no cure. It's not going to happen. You can walk. You can fundraise. You can do a marathon. You can get in the water when it's freezing cold in February. They have a cure, and it's up in a lab, and they're not giving it to you.
Oh, you think there is a cure?
If they could cure coronavirus in a year and a half when the president barely did anything,
they've been working on fighting different types of coronavirus, since the SARS.
So you're telling me that you believe them when it took 35 years to get AIDS prevention in two bills? You really, really believe them that it took that long? No, they blow smoke up our asses all day long.
Matt, isn't the name of your next album called Until There's a Cure?
No, the name of my next album is actually Matt Brown DL for Pussy.
Man Pussy, right?
I don't know. Listen, my last relationship with a guy was essentially conversion therapy. Maybe I need to give like a nice trans lady or a trans man or a stud or just a regular old born that way lady a chance. I don't know, but change is gonna come.
Well, that's the thing about it is, you know, and there's memes and posts that have pop up every now and then. But one thing that's popped up recently in our social media feeds is that it's 2021 and you need to stop discriminating sexually against trans and non-binary people.
Or recognizing them as sexual people. Yes. Like, you can date this person.
And I have like come to terms with that this year, honestly. Like, I'm glad that that's like out in the sort of world and that's sort of out in the media, because like I have always had trans people hit on me because it's sort of like they see me as a sister, sort of, especially when I'm like out in public with like my stage makeup and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's sort of like how sort of like there's a sort of kinness with drag queens. There's a kinness with other gay guys. We know we're all family. And I don't know. I think I come across as maybe more of a guy or whatever. So I don't know. I don't know why.
You're a bro standing in front of another bro, just asking him to love you.
Basically, only instead of like football helmets, we're both like wearing eyelashes
and the same color of fingernail polish. You like scarlet colored fingernails, but, too?
Like, I never really, and it was always trans dudes actually who had hit on me a lot, and I just never sort of went there for this weird interior wall I had up. But then I've like, again, you've had 9 months in the house to think about stuff. I have one good reason.
Yeah, you know, like, I personally, I don't want to kiss and tell, but obviously I've been sexual with a few trans men.
You're a free spirit. You're a free spirit.
You know, and to me it's like,
you did not swim here from Puerto Rico to do nothing.
Like, I think the first experience that I had, I was not aware that they were trans, and when they were like revealing to me that they were trans.
I don't know why anybody would ever get violent. To me, that'd be a fun surprise. Well, it's like, oh, this is cool.
He said to me, it was like, you know, I'm trans, and then we were like, well, in for penny, in for pound.
But like, because here's the thing: if you liked them, if you liked hanging out with them, if you thought they looked cool, if you thought they were a good time, do the parts matter when you get down to it? Like, if you find that there's a
some people will not like, if you don't have a penis, or you have, or your penis is made out of plastic and purchased in a store, it's going to be a deal breaker for some people. Mm. You know, that's not for me, but it is for other people.
I fuck like twice a year. So like, we can always like buy one off Amazon and we can get a different one each time and
you
make
can
it a
also
whole
just have somebody else come in and do the service part of it.
Well,
you know?
I don't know. It's really hard to find like a guy who's like built like I can take and then looks the way I want. My butthole is very specific.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because like I bleed with a 6-incher. I need like a small dick. I cannot take much dick at all.
Have you tried poppers?
Yeah, and I still, that doesn't, I still
can't. Have you tried a hot peanut oil massage?
I've tried and I really can't take much. Mm-hmm. So like, I just need like a 6'3" black guy who's built like, you know, not that. Mm-hmm. I need my type who's not built like my type.
You know, the thing about it is, it's like we've all been with men who are just insanely attractive and they tend to rush things. I think that it's almost like a proportion. How good looking you are and how privileged you are. They're just like, let's get this shit done. Where's the hole? Let me stick it. And you're just like, you know, if you're doing anal with somebody, sometimes you have to work a little bit longer for that. You know, you got to romance the stone.
I mean, listen, the difference in my limited life experience, the difference between like vaginas and anuses when, you know, you're the top is that basically once you get the thumbs up, as far as a vagina is concerned, it's pretty much like it's a solid thumbs up that doesn't.
But have you ever been confused for being a trans or non-binary person yourself?
Like, no, I get confused for being a bottom, which is enough.
Based on my voice and that I'm kind of like George Washington Carver, squeaky, weird voice sounding, people think that I'm a trans man, but I was assigned male at birth. You know, so I present as a gender that I was assigned at.
People think I'm non-binary all the time, and I just then I turn off my stage voice, and then they get scared, and then they talk to me properly.
Oh, really? What do you sound like when you're not like that?
Like you mean like when I wake up at six? You mean like when I wake up at 6 a.m. and cough for half an hour before I find my cigarettes?
You're like Lauren Bacall
Tuesday morning. Could you tell me where to find Tuesday morning star? My favorite time of day is night.
My favorite time of day is night. I love curling up with a rich cup of coffee.
If you want to hear like my like real voice with like my like how I actually talk, give me something to say and not a joke.
My favorite time of day is night.
My favorite time of day is night.
Daddy.
This is pretty much how I like when I wake up in the morning. And like, this is how like I talk to guys. Like, this is like how my like actual voice.
That's your voice that you use like when you pick up the phone at work and stuff?
No, that's stage me too. That's all fake. That's all. That's another performance.
This is like
that's another performance.
I don't think I've ever heard you talk that way before. The audience is kind of shocked and aroused.
Because I'm at work with you guys. I love you guys. But I mean, the podcast, it's a part of work. It's part of.
No, you and I have hung out. No cameras. No microphones.
I've heard that voice sometimes. It comes out a little bit.
Yeah, it's when we call you in the morning and you're just waking up. And you're like, hello, how's it going?
Yeah, when I forget that people are around.
Mark, what's your like most butch voice that you can do?
My most butch voice?
Yeah, let's hear it.
It's my everyday voice is butch, isn't it?
Aren't I butch enough for you now?
Hello.
And then he just like starts crying.
Hi, folks.
Let's hear it.
Welcome to the restaurant. Today's pizza has anchovies.
so does the busboy on his dick from you.
You know, I always say that LGBT people are the middle children of society to some degree. And part of it is, and I noticed this even in the way we talk on the podcast, is that we're always trying to like get attention.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you, one thing when I, my phone speaking voice, when I do, you know, when I'm at work, sometimes I'm like, I just go a little softer and quieter. And it has that kind of like gentle talk radio voice, like welcome to the love line.
I'm okay. Dr. So Feister. You have a work voice too, but there's, it's not like a code switch. It's more like a tone thing because
I actually get higher like, to be sweeter. I'm like, thanks for calling the bakery. How can I help you today?
Cause like a lot of my like other black friends, like we talk about like our work voices and stuff. And we talk about our stage voices. Cause when you're black, there's a lot of code switching going on. There's a lot of different environment stuff. And I don't have like a work voice. I don't have like a white work voice. Like I don't have like a, I don't feel like anyone could ever pay me enough to like, I don't know, do.
But I don't think you're have a hip hop sensibility like some other, like I have some friends and they don't code switch at all. They're always sounding like they just got off of, you know, open mic night at the Apollo, you know? I find it so interesting because
I probably sounded a lot more like that in high school because all my friends did because that's who all my friends were.
So you're like,
I don't know. It's environmental because especially because like you learn how to talk again when you learn how to sing professionally. And so your voice is just very sort of adaptive after that.
Yeah, but I've noticed like sometimes it's interesting to watch people who consciously don't code switch because they're like, you're going to have to do the work, not me.
And I love it.
You know?
And I love it. Like, you figure it out.
Just like trans people. I'll
say it again 4 times, but I'm not talking different.
Let's say it all together. This is the voice I want to use.
This is the voice I want to use, Faust out.
This is the voice I want to use.
I'm sorry, I'm cracking up over here like an idiot. That's just we're just stupid.
Let's talk about Pete Buttigieg.
We have to?
He's now our Secretary of Transportation.
Yay, girl. Yeah. Woo!
Well, isn't that what he said he did when he was in Iran for 6 weeks? He drove MTVs or something? Isn't that what he said he did?
I don't remember.
I don't remember. If I remember clearly, he had a desk job and an ugly husband. That's all I know.
People say that he's a secret agent for the CIA because his dad was a CIA. Like, that's the QAnon Republican theories.
Wasn't his dad a professor at Notre Dame University? But wasn't his mother also?
They're CIA agents.
The CIA does recruit a lot of professors because a lot of professors travel and go to different universities, and they're also really good at research. And the FBI and CIA, they all look for people to do a lot of research.
But I don't think that's a bad thing, right? Like, it makes Pete Buttigieg actually seem kind of like a James Bond kind of character, which is instead of the square Boy Scout, you know?
Oh, okay. So if a faggot breaks into your government, you're fine with it. But when the Russians do it, you're mad.
Well, he's the first out gay secretary or cabinet. He is in line to become president of the United States.
South Bend, Indiana. My dick's bigger than South Bend, Indiana.
No love lost for Pete.
Okay, this is all I have to say about that. I did 3 shows in South Bend, Indiana when he was running. It was very difficult because, once again, my dick is bigger than the town. They were quick shows. But when he was running, I did 3 shows there, and I talk shit about him every single night, and every single night the crowd was on my side. His own people cannot stand him. Again, he has 100,000 people to impress and can't do it, and you want him to win a national election? My black ass.
Well, you know that national election catapulted him into the national, if not international, stage. Now, you know, you run for an office, you might not win, but you do it to push your own platform.
I can't wait to see what a second wife looks like.
Speaking of second times, Dolly Parton was offered the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Donald Trump two times, and both times she turned it down.
Get off my ass.
The first time she did it, her husband was ill, so she's like, I can't do it. My husband's too sick. I have to stay with him. And then the second time, she's just like, it's COVID. I'm national treasure. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's and like those titties going to get COVID, and they would just... It would be a disaster.
And now she's like, they think that Biden's going to give it to her, but she's like, I don't know if I can accept because people will think I'm getting too political.
Now, this is the thing about Dolly, which makes any story about her 15 times funnier when you play it for yourself in your head. Mm-hmm. She typically lives in an RV with her husband, and she always signs all of her letters or all of her emails or anything she sends you. Like, if she sends you a perfume she's doing, she always says, you can reach me, like if you're another celebrity, someone she likes, she always says you can reach me by fax because that's what she has in her RV. So Donald Trump was sending her requests via a fax machine, and she was saying no via a fax machine in an RV in the Appalachian Mountains of Tennessee.
That's for real?
Yes, she does all of her. I heard Tracy Martell say it once that she got something from Dolly and she said, you can fax me. I've heard other people say that. She lives in the RV. She doesn't always have cell phone reception, doesn't like to email a lot. You know, you can fax her.
I wouldn't even know how to fax anybody.
Big
titty
blonde country Western stars got to stick together.
Her and Barbara Mandrell.
You know, I think Dolly Parton understands that part of her audience are very conservative people. And
she knows it's 50-50. She knows. Yeah,
she has to strike that delicate balance. Like, we went to a Dolly Parton concert. And
to quote Edward Albee.
At Ravinia, which is a total bougie place in the suburbs of Chicago. And it felt like a fight was going to break down. Like, you know, because there were like the gays getting drunk and stuff.
And the country getting drunk.
And the country folks. And I was like, ooh, this is not going to end well. You know, like I was a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
And I was just like, because I have to tell you, there was a lot of action in that bathroom.
I can imagine.
Like, there was
a child there born named Billy Ray Vivacious. It was a bad moment. It was a bad moment.
Who got nominated for a Pulitzer Peace Prize was Black Lives Matter.
And Stacey Abrams.
And Stacey Abrams. But don't get too excited because also Jared Kushner got nominated as well.
Well, there's a bunch of people are able to nominate, so a lot of you get a lot of nominations. But who's going to win?
I get in trouble every time I say this, but I think Jared Kushner is a sister. I don't think he's gay. I definitely think he's, like, I don't know if you call this anymore, but he's definitely a cross-dresser.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because Aubrey O'Day, who is just used to date Donald Trump Jr., she says, she's been talking about his drug use. She says, we used to do a lot of drugs together. Cocaine wasn't one of them, but I think he's on Adderall. And she also said that Ivanka Trump was a lesbian. And, you know, the Trumps never, you know, they get quite litigious when they they didn't sue her over that. So, you know, perhaps, you know, it is that kind of like he dresses up as a woman so that she can
They probably don't want the attention of, because I feel like they got pushback from like a lot of the transphobic shit and other stuff that went down. Do you want to have a lawsuit saying that being a lesbian is a bad thing? Like, is that really attention you need right now?
I feel that, like, there was, like, some kind of court case recently where the court said, no, you can't sue somebody for calling you gay because it's no longer considered defamatory.
Yeah, you can't get fired for it. Nothing bad's going to happen.
Michelle Pfeiffer turned down the lead role of Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs.
No.
Wait, who turned it down?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Not Hannibal Lecter.
She was going to do Jodie Foster.
White gold, honey. White gold. Michelle Pfeiffer.
She was going to put on sweats.
She was going to play Clarice Starling.
It would have been better if she played Hannibal Lecter and then made it like a women on women, you know, like a super criminal.
It would have made the cannibalism a direct lesbian thing, and I would have been into that.
And she said she turned it down because she had worked with the director before, and she really liked working with him, and she was kind of disappointed. Jonathan Demme. And she just didn't like the ending. She said it was too dark. So I think the idea that Hannibal Lecter kind of gets away was too much for her.
I really think that if Michelle had done it, she finally would have won her Oscar, because she got nominated like three different times in the 80s and never won. And I think they would have like pity fucked her and given it to her.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jodie Foster won for it.
Yeah. She should have been nominated for Grease 2 and won.
Get away from me.
A cool, cool, cool.
But, you know,
cool,
Jodie
cool
Foster
rider.
Also, she won, I think she won 2 years in a row because she won for that other movie where she got raped on a pool table for 15 minutes straight. That was vivid. Edited Lifetime version was vivid.
I think it was based on a true story, and her co-star in that, Kelly McGillis, the rumor was, and this was the 80s, right?
88,
The rumor, like, everybody that I know my age all heard the same rumor that was gay, and the rumor was that Jodie Foster was having an affair with Kelly McGillis, and that Whitney Houston was also sleeping with, I think, Kelly McGillis, right?
Yes, that's
and
right.
She caught them or whatever, and there was just like this big giant fight. There was hell to pay. I would love if somebody out there, you know, maybe Robin could confirm whether this really happened, because it was just like, you know, we didn't have the internet back then. This stuff was not National Enquirer. This was all word.
You know
of
what
mouth.
This reminds me of, Mark?
What?
This reminds me of that song Whitney did with another gay icon, George Michael. If I told you that, I wanted to please you. And if I told you that, do you remember that song?
No.
The one song they did together?
No.
Oh my God, that was such a good song. It was like 2001. I was a little kid. That was like, oh, that was such a good song.
Gail
it was
King,
the only time they ever worked
why
together.
Why aren't you doing your due diligence and figuring, getting to the bottom of the Kelly McGillis, Jodie Foster, Whitney Houston,
love and, triangle.
And possible, I also heard that Dolly Parton was involved in this love triangle.
No, I never heard that.
I did, yeah.
Okay, I also heard that Dolly Parton and Fran Lebowitz were in love, which is hysterical.
Pretend it's a city as you munch on it.
Yeah. pretend it's a I'm pussy. That's my album, Pretend It's a Pussy.
Matt, it's good talking to you.
Oh, we're already drawing to a close.
Well, we don't have to end this.
Okay, good, because my legs are open and so are my creative juices. I want them all to flow.
What else you got going on in your life? What else are you thinking about these days?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of things on my mind. The first thing is that I got the second dose of the COVID vaccine this mañana.
Oh, yeah. I saw your update about that. You want people to you want people to cough in your face.
I want people to cough in my face. I want them to spit in my mouth. I want them to call me a bad girl and spank me, but that's kind of normal stuff.
Well, you know, there's also coronavirus in fecal matter, so people could shit in your face now, too, and you wouldn't get it.
Oh my God, because I always ask people to shit in my mouth. That's like all, just like when I'm really. You know, yeah, I just really, I like to ask,
guys, on the internet, you're not going to be happy.
Oh, chat scat.
But I only ask for it like in public, like at a restaurant, like when the waitress comes, when she asks about appetizers, I turn to someone else at the table and ask them to shit in my mouth. Like maybe the waitress could also bring it.
Mm. One of our listeners made a licorice pudding, like a Jell-O thing.
That's not okay.
And it fell apart and just looked like a pile of poop on a plate.
It looked like a poop emoji, literally.
That's already, it started not okay and ended worse. But no, someone actually commented on my Facebook post. They said, you know, don't actually let anybody cough in your face because the vaccine's not 100% effective. And I said, birth control isn't 100% effective and you still come in people. And
oh my God. Friendship deleted.
There you go.
There you go. And that got more likes than his comment. And then also I saw a couple gay guys laughed at it. And then I put a screenshot of the prep website saying that's like 92 to 98% effective. And then I said that they gave us 92% and they said that's close enough, you queens. And we said, sure.
I think it's like 98 or something like that.
Taking the risk, taking the load, whatever it takes.
Breathing in somebody's face is like, I wonder if that is kind of like a cheap vaccine, because like when you get coronavirus, it's like your body can handle typically can handle, I know I'm not a scientist, but it can handle like a small dose of it, right?
It's easier for your body to go through vaccine than it is to get sick and get antibodies.
Yeah.
Because when you get the vaccine, like if you're going to get sick, it is like if you're going to get side effect symptoms and feel sick, you know immediately what the window period is. You know exactly what it is. Mm. If you try to do something like that experimentally because you're poor or because you're a teenager or because like you just don't know any better or it sounds like a good idea, because they might see shit like that on Instagram or whatever, you have to do that and then quarantine for 2 fucking weeks. Yeah. Whereas like, I know if I'm going to feel like shit, which I probably won't because I'm 23 years old versus like everyone else I know who got vaccinated is in their 50s and 60s pretty much with, you know, very few people being an exception that I can even think of. So like, I might not even get sick, but I know if it do, it'll be before Friday. Mm. I don't have to cut off my life for 2 to 3 weeks and wait and see if I get sick, if it worked, if it happened, and then if I have to find someone else to cough in my face again.
On Sunday, Foster and I took the our second dose of the Johnson & Johnson trial. They gave
the COVID vaccine.
Did they give you a choice in the brand, or did they
I got the Gucci one.
Johnson & Johnson.
Well, no, because there's four different kinds.
For Johnson & Johnson, it has not been approved yet, so it's a vaccine trial. And what they're doing is they know right now they think that the efficacy is 60% for the Johnson & Johnson one, but it's not actually approved, right? And so we actually got two shots. So it's not a booster shot. It's a second shot of the same vaccine because they're thinking that maybe that might move it up to like, you know, 80, 90% or something like
that. Well, you've never said no to two Johnsons in your life.
You win.
And not on your birthday. Not on your birthday.
Now, the first time we got the vaccine, the next day we were, or it could have been a placebo. The next day we were like knocked on our ass. We were just exhausted.
Yeah.
It was and I had some pain in my injection shot and saw, you know, a few days later.
That also could have been the gonorrhea, though.
But like this next shot that we got, it was just like, I don't really feel like there was any kind of effect at
all. No, there was zero effect.
And I'm not. You know, I'm moving my shoulder right now.
I feel
like there's a little bit of tenderness in the injection site around there. But I don't, you know, yeah.
I'm like an 80s pop song.
Yeah, how's that?
Tenderness, where is it? Tenderness, where
you
is
got
it?
Got to try a little tenderness. Where's James Brown? Where's James Brown? You just got to sound like you just ate the cigarettes, not even smoked them, just ate them. And then you got to die.
Matt, what are you going to do for Valentine's Day?
I am going... I'm not going to do that. No, I'm going to get a jar of peanut oil and warm it up on the stove and stick my dick in it until somebody loves me.
Put some flower petals in it.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm going to do what I'm doing, what most gay guys without families do on holidays. I'm going to fuck strangers. I don't know.
If you're going to want trade, it's like Mark and I always observe Thanksgiving evening after dinner. Mm-hmm. Like the bars were always packed.
Yeah,
they were.
Yeah.
In your hometowns. Nowadays, I'm not really so because with Facebook and the internet nowadays, not as much.
But if you want some trade, like that's the, you know, getting people like hooking up with the hookup apps, that's probably going to be the same analogy, right? Mm. So it's
One of my favorite gay comedians put on Facebook. I'm just remembering this because you said it. His name is Ty Rivera. He put on Facebook a couple of years ago.
Ty was on the podcast.
Yeah.
I love Ty.
Yeah. The comedian and the food.
Oh, God bless. God bless. Yeah, love the culture, hate the people. You know, one of those. You got to draw a line. And Ty put on Facebook one year. I think it would have been 2019, because that would have been the last time the bars would have been open around Christmas. He said, listen, the bars used to be way more fun back before people could come out, because on Christmas they used to be busy and now no one's fucking here. Why are you all with your families? I wish they hated your faggot asses again.
It's so true. When I would go home to my hometown of Erie, Pennsylvania, you'd go out on Christmas Eve to the gay bar and it would be packed. There'd be people,
exactly.
You know, and they'd come out of the closet. And now it's just like you go there and it's just like, it's not happening.
No, yeah. but they still have the drink special menu, and the first one's always like the I haven't spoken to my mom in 10 years tequila. Like there's always like a different rank of like how lonely you are and how fast you want to black out.
I'm worried about the future of some of these gay bars and these queer spaces. We're in danger of, with this pandemic, of losing some, and I hope that we can come back together when this is all over. And
you know what I think, how it's going to come back at first? I think it's going to be like the 60s where rich gays have like just fabulous fucking house parties with 50 people. Mm. And that's like sort of how like a scene picks back up again. And people, like rich people, find each other to get space. And, you know, a clientele emerges and, you know, the social scene that would exist. Because like I'm sure, like Fausto, you've done drag at places like this. I've done stand-up like this, where it's a birthday party and there's just too many fucking people in the house. Mm. Like, I think if you can schedule that, there you go.
Like in Chicago in the 90s, a lot of people lived in lofts. And so it was really easy to, you know, especially to make your rent. You could throw a party, basically like a speakeasy, mm-hmm. and charge people money at the door. And then you would invite performers to perform at it. And some of my best performances actually took place in these kind of spaces. Mm-hmm. In fact, Tommy Walton from America, what is it, from MasterChef?
Yes.
That's where I met him at one of those parties.
And people used to have more house parties. You'd be like, what's going on this weekend? Oh, there's a party. And I mean, there's still parties happening, but just
No one can afford to live in a fucking house. There's no space. Can't afford to live anywhere where you can have 15 people over.
That's where you got to throw a speakeasy. Mm. Yeah.
There you go.
You know what, honey? It's like... No.
Because like I'm lucky I have this big house and I can, like, when the world's open and like when people feel safe and stuff, like, but like I could have 15 people over here if I really wanted to, but like very, very few people have space for it and at like in their 20s that would, you know, party like that.
Mm. Well, Matt, as soon as we get an actual COVID vaccine that we can validate, you'll be the first guest back on the podcast in person.
Okay, good.
Which will be less insane over the phone.
Well, since he's vaccinated, is it safe for us to hang out with you now or no?
Well, I don't think I'm going to. Yeah, you can't get it from me.
Oh, that's true.
So you can't be immune to it but still transport it?
I don't know.
I believe that you can still be a carrier.
I think it's sort of like unprotected sex. If you wipe your ass afterwards and you're on PrEP, you're fine.
Well, we could certainly look into it, you know.
So. Yeah, I think so long as I wipe my ass before I come over.
Because you're one of the few guests that used to come over and bring pot with them, and I miss that.
Oh, my God.
That was just like, I'm hanging up, you two crackheads. Bobby and Whitney need some alone time.
Pull this poop out of my butt. Well, let's tell me what was that all about?
Okay, it's like it's actually I could send it to you.
Oh, you can.
It's a clip like a 30, from
there's
Whitney
a 30
Houston's
second YouTube
TV
video.
Show.
Yeah,
because okay, in the early 2000s, this would be 2003 or 2004. There was a wonderful television show on a very prestigious network called Bravo, and the wonderful television show, which also could have been on PBS, was called Bing Bobby Brown. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a time capsule. It's a beautiful moment. It's Whitney in a short wig with a short fuse. And the longer her hair was, the better of a mood she was in. Like in the 80s, she never cussed anybody out. But then, like, she got the bob, and then everyone was a bitch and a hoe.
I have a short wig and a short fuse.
Yeah, that song. What is it that the video where she does, like, I checked your credit card receipts. It's not fair. Oh, yeah. It's not right. It's okay.
Yeah, no. Okay. Oh, fuck. If only. Shit.
So go back to the digging the poop out.
Yeah, so there's a scene in Bing Bobby Brown where she's, like, screaming at Bobby Brown to help her wipe her ass.
Okay, so this is a 40-second YouTube video. I'm playing it on my TV really loud.
Okay,
we'll put it into the show.
This is just Whitney talking about shitting for a minute.
I'm out of the club, and she couldn't get it out. And I had the album. She couldn't get it out. And these fans right here. Oh, my God. My sister's
going, that's love.
Black love.
So him digging shit out of her ass.
What is happening?
So him, okay, so if I could narrate what we saw, Whitney's getting makeup applied, and then Bobby just wants, but that's where the camera is, and it's in a hotel, so there's not a lot of space. So Bobby is sitting on the toilet with the lid on it, because just he wants to be on camera, he wants to talk to Whitney, he wants to hang out. She has a concert, he doesn't, he still wants to hang out. So she's getting makeup applied, and he just starts telling a story apropos to nothing of this one time, she has really big turd in her butt, and like she couldn't get it out. Like, she couldn't get it out. And then he puts both of his hands up, and so he's like, so I put these fingers. And then she's like, oh, my God! and then Whitney just says, that's love. That's love. Black love.
So she was kind of constipated. She had a little butt nugget up there, and he fished it out.
Yeah, she had a problem, and he had a solution, and that's love.
You know, if you ever have problems with that, just drink a tall glass of cold water.
I'm coming over to your house.
Diuretic.
No, I'm coming over to your house. That's the only solution.
And probably he dug it out for her, because she probably had long nails.
And couldn't dig in her own ass.
Yeah.
Because this was after she made Robin Lee.
I always, don't get that. Like, especially the Rue girls, they're all, like, now growing. Because it's like getting on RuPaul's Drag Race now is a full-time job for some people. And so like they're putting all their money and time into this basically a Ponzi scheme for RuPaul. And they're growing out their nails full-time. And I'm just like, that can't be easy to wipe your ass.
It's not bad. I like having long nails. I don't have them right now because it's so expensive.
I'm talking about
nail
extremism. Like it's 2-inch nails.
Well, they're women.
Well, that doesn't change the mechanics of it. Your ass is still behind you.
But you have to then wrap not just your fingers. You have to wrap the nails with toilet paper, and then you're using the nails to scrape it out like you're like. Cleaning a watermelon or, for a cocktail party.
Well, you also have to realize if they can afford to do all that full time, they can get a $79 bidet attachment to their fucking toilet. Yeah.
There you go.
Like, their asshole is probably cleaner than your kitchen.
Can we do like a crowdfunding for a bidet? Like, everybody who's listening to this right now, go get yourself a bidet. You're going to be happy. If you live in the north where it's cold, get yourself a warm water bidet and drill a hole in your bathroom sink to get the warm water, but it's like we were staying with my mom and it was just like
did she say do a before and after picture?
No, I was just like this is such a miracle. Like bidets are really, and they're so good for the environment. You don't use
I'm
as much.
I'm so happy
paper.
Your mom's pussy's clean because, like, at this point in her life,
she
the last thing she needs.
She,
it's my sister.
It's her
yeah.
sister. That's
my
sister.
Oh, I thought you said
it,
your
yeah.
mother.
Well, my mother and my sister live
it's in
together.
The same house. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So she installed just, one. So we took advantage that my sister
and
was
Fausto,
gone.
You know, this is in Texas, and he feels like the one that just has the cold water is not going to be good for up north.
It's now, this is Texas. This is Texas. Do they have hard water? Because you don't want all those minerals.
They do have hard water in there. But here, it's just literally the water comes out ice cold.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to be like...
They just stand up.
I don't want to be penetrated by Jack Frost every time I take a poop.
You yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You'll warm up
you
to
You can
it.
Also just have a little squirt bottle next to the sink and just squirt yourself.
It's not the same thing, man. I was like... Because I grew up with a bidet in Puerto Rico. Like
oh, you did?
Yeah, every bathroom in Puerto Rico has a bidet.
Mm-hmm. Not attached to the toilet. It's a separate
entity.
It's
a separate thing. So you get up, you wipe a little bit, you sit down on the bidet, and you fucking ride that stream, honey.
Oh, man.
You're like, come on. Come on, Poseidon. Give it to
okay,
me.
Okay, so, like, you were that gay kid who would find the jacuzzi and just put your asshole up to it and moan?
Oh, it was so good because you're so clean. It was nice. You're like, oh, come on, Poseidon.
You were just literally, you were like 9 years old in a jacuzzi by yourself, just like bent over, spreading your ass to a fucking water jet.
Be careful. Listen, seriously
and
speaking,
like,
do not do that.
Like, now we can't go to the pool in public anymore. Now you can't go to the YMCA ever again.
Matt, don't ever, seriously speaking, because people do listen to this podcast and people imitate the things they see on the internet, even though they shouldn't. Do not do that. The water pressure is too intense and you can harm yourself. Don't do that.
Yeah, it's not. I don't want to.
You
also, if
listen,
I know anyone,
you don't want tomorrow somebody posting on social media be like, Matt Brown is canceled because I gave myself
a- because I said this thing while laughing, so I then did it seriously because Matt's a doctor.
You gotta respond.
Brown,
you're
excuse
a role
me,
model.
It's Miss Brown, not Dr. Brown. There you go. That's my permanent.
100 years
excuse.
From now, school kids will be learning about Matt Brown and his hot peanut oil massages.
Ooh. I don't want to jerk anybody off. I'm way too self-involved. I just want to look at my nails.
All right, wrapping things up here, what product do you want to be forever associated with that you're like, people? You know what I'm saying? Like George mm-hmm. Washington Carver, regardless of what he did and said, he will forever be known as the peanut butter man. Like,
yeah.
I like to think that he invented a time machine and traveled to Mad Max times and hooked up mm-hmm. with Tina Turner. And then Tina Turner would be like, peanut butter man, ain't we a pair, peanut butter man. And he's like, stop calling me peanut butter man. It's peanut man.
I think the things that I'm associated with, like if I went off like my stage persona,
yeah,
probably,
yeah, yeah.
I would say it would either be a cosmopolitan martini.
Oh, just like Sex in the City.
Because that's always because I yeah. like having a pink drink and a martini glass on stage. It makes the whole thing just look like it's 1968 in my crazy twisted mind.
Or my
brand yeah. of cigarettes. I wouldn't mind being like this generation's Marlboro man because I don't see me quitting smoking anytime soon. I'm not a role model. Raise your own kids.
I make the most fabulous cosmopolitan. When we get back together, we'll make one.
Cosmos are 290s. Come on. It's
I don't know why we ever stopped drinking these.
Oh, yes, because everybody else started.
Yeah, but then they stopped for 15 years and I made it cool again.
That's a reference to Sex in the City to the movie.
And then also my drink for a while, my drink for the longest time was a Tom Collins, but then all that acid I was throwing up. So we had to move away from the lemonade and the gin and then move toward the vodka and, you know, the sweet.
Do you drink from straws or do you drink from glasses?
I drink from a dog bowl.
Because girls who drink from glasses seldom get passes.
They actually say that, like, to drink out of a glass so you don't get your lips don't wrinkle.
I got really upset that when the bars went strawless and I had to like start bringing my own everywhere because I don't always like to wear the liquid lipsticks that don't come off because they're really drying. So if I'm not wearing those, it's like just a battle being out in public.
But you've never been to a gay bar in your entire life.
Yeah, but I work at the straight bars. You know, there are other people in the world and they giggle. They giggle often.
I'm going to take you to a gay bar someday.
Don't. I'll have a panic attack. You'll have to take me out in an ambulance. I'll be like, I'll literally, I'll like have a scene. I'll faint like Elizabeth Taylor. I'll faint down a flight of stairs.
I'm going to take you to one of those leather bars that has a back room. And I'm going to take you back there.
I did stand up at a manhole. I did stand up at manhole once.
Wow.
Oh, that's, yeah, but that's not really. He did it when it was a one night. Yeah, tame.
There are still, when they got rid of all the
pandemic, there are bars here in Chicago that you can lock yourself up in a cage and then guys and get fed dicks. Yeah.
Listen,
we
I
saw
don't
our
need
friend
to
locked in a cage once, and he was getting fed a dick. And the only reason why he would know the dick was there because this dude's dick was so white. I've never seen a dick this white. It just glowed in the dark white.
Casper, guys, the friendly ghost.
What?
If that's fun for you, that's great. But I've already been molested.
Oh.
So I don't
this is consensual
two.
Here, honey. Yes. This is you putting yourself.
All flashbacks.
Up in
it's all Vietnam to me.
Sorry if we triggered you, Matt. I really am.
No, that's. Well, I mean, it's true, but it's funny. We make jokes. That's how we do it. Sure, that's funny.
Can you work a joke like I like guys who don't get trapped into cages or?
Listen, no, because then that's like John McCain. What's I like people who don't get to that's on that level. That's Trump again. That's real Trumpy. That would be trying to correct Trump and ending up like him.
What is that bar? It's a jackhammer, yeah. Right? No, the other one of the cage was next door to Shea.
Was it? No, the cage was in the basement of the jackhammer.
Yeah, is the basement. The basement of the jackhammer is lit. It's
but they
insane.
Do. I'm sure they have a cage. Yeah. I'm sure they do have a cage at Touche. When I was in Norway, we were in this small town. They're like, oh, the pub's down the street. And so we went to the pub, and there was a cage in the pub. They're like, this used to be the jail. And I was just kind of like,
The jail for what?
Like the local jail. They had turned it into a pub. But they
that makes sense because you used to go to jail if you were caught in a gay bar. So it's just like, keep it all in one place. Like, hey, boys, you're going downstairs.
I meant Mark.
Gay bar.
How many years ago was that?
It was April 4th, 1999. It was Easter Sunday early in the morning.
And I went up to Mark and it was in the CD.
Jesus wasn't the only one who got nailed.
Okay, at that point in my life, I had just shit my pants because I was 14 months old. Continue.
And so I went up to Mark and he was so handsome. Still is handsome today.
Thank you.
And I said, I was like, have we been chatting?
Everything was better in the 90s, though, you know?
It was. So I said, have we been chatting on the internet? And Mark's like, what? What internet?
What's a computer?
Yeah. I was like, on AOL, I have a photo of somebody who looks a lot like you. Let me take you home and I'll show you the photo. He was like,
and it was Andre Agassi, and you were lying.
And so I took Mark out of the club. We had been making out a little bit, and Mark couldn't tell that JoJo, which is Dennis Rodman's hairstylist and the club kid, was doing my hair at the time. So I had rainbow leopard color spots on my head.
Yeah. You were as faggy as Dennis Rodman
I
for
was
a
as
year?
Faggy, yes, as Dennis Rodman. And so I got out of the club and Mark's like, well, in for penny, in for pound.
Might as well.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. That's a good approach to take to life. Like, listen, I said yes and I'm going to follow it up.
Why, say yes to the dress.
You got
to
follow through.
If you want somebody to buy the dress, you got to put it in the window. Miss Brown. If you're nasty.
Say yes to the man in the dress. I wish I felt comfortable in women's clothing, or else I would just do drag. It'd be easier.
You know,
people would understand.
I think if you ever decide to start doing women's clothing, you really want to look at Halston. I think Halston's the designer for you.
Pam
I
Greer.
Think you have you have the body for Halston outfits.
How dare you compare me to Liza Minnelli in a fat moment? How dare you?
No. If you look at his traditional stuff, it is that you're long and
you have long legs.
You have long, and that would fit you very well.
A lot of shoulders, no features.
I think you gotta pay tribute to Pam Grier in her later film roles, and I think you unstoppable. Because gender, honey, is not just an illusion; it is also a gateway into a new audience.
Oh, sure. I would love to remake some of those old Pam Grier movies because they don't make any sense and they're just about her being hot and shooting people. And I would like to do that.
Oh, I love Foxy Brown.
I'm surprised they haven't given you a Nobel Peace Prize nomination for not cutting us up with your edgy humor.
You know, honestly, because here's the thing. I'd look so good doing it.
I haven't whooped in the ass this year. Where's well, my peace prize? Is,
if I ever committed a violent crime, it would end up being one of those Betty Broderick, Casey Anthony trials, because everything about me is that theatrical. I just can't spare the attention.
As soon as you get accused of murder, Matt, I have a feeling you're going to become like this shrinking little flower and be like, I don't want to talk to anybody. Just get me my lawyer. I don't know one.
I do not have a violent bone in my body. Like, my brother used to punch holes in walls. I never had that impulse. I just wanted to scream at people and make them feel like shit. I didn't want to hurt them.
Just pinch their nipples a little bit.
Yeah, I just want to make you wish you'd never been born. Not, like, take you out of the world. It's different. It's different.
It's Mark Feeling's birthday today. Let's praise Mark.
Okay, first of all, I would just like to, one, thank you for being 50% of the team that's welcomed me into your home and into your podcast 497 and a half times. I have done more episodes of your podcast in the past, like, probably 3 years than maybe any of your repeat guests. And I genuinely appreciate you bringing me into your life like that. Like, cause
honey, you're like an STI I can't get rid of.
Honestly, I just keep on showing back up. I'm like crabs at a community theater. Everyone's getting me, goddammit. And also, Mark, I just want to say you have done such a beautiful, beautiful job of finding the right time to shut up me or Fausto. Like, you are Ed McMahon and Andy Richter and every other who's just like, ah, da, 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 da. Like, you are the artful da, 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 da. Because Fausto and I just want to say the same thing at the same time.
Mm. Oh, that's so beautiful. So you feel like you're, like, connected to me on a spiritual level.
Basically.
Oh, we're fighting over the same man.
Well, my friend Kirthy says that I'm the ballast, though I keep
the anchor,
the ballast that keeps the ship afloat. So it's it doesn't tilt to one side or tilt to the other side.
You are a genuinely skillful talk show host.
Thank you. I appreciate all that, Matt.
Effortless.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I love having you. I love having you as a guest. I love counting you as a friend. And I wish you the best.
Thank you, baby. Thank you, baby. And it's always fun working with professional people who do their shit on a high level.
Although we live in a world with a lot of inequality, and sometimes the system is stacked up against us, it's really important to remember that there are things you can still do. You do not have to wait for the world to change to pursue your dreams. And George Washington Carver, or Mark Felian, or Matt Brown, or me, are all examples of people who have just said, I'm not going to wait till the world changes for me to try something new to pursue my dreams. And Mark, on his own, without any help from me or the audience or the podcast, quietly went to auditions year after year to get on a reality TV show, The Great Norwegian Adventure, Alt for Norge. And he was told no dozens of times. Twice, but then finally got cast on the show and made it all the way to the top. And it's an extraordinary accomplishment. You know, Mark had a life-changing experience.
It's so rare for him to be a top.
Yeah, it was very rare for Mark to be on top, but
that's not true. That is definitely not true.
Proud verse.
Fake news.
Lies, Minnelli.
You know, Mark, at around that time period, you were had so much optimism and so much energy and happiness in your voice. And, you know, I know this year has been really difficult. We're still in very difficult times. I know a lot of people don't have any money, are still waiting for stimulus. There's a lot of uncertainty over the future of their lives in this country. And I just want people to remember, and Mark to remember, those days when there was a lot of hope and dreams were coming true, because we will get those days again. They will come back. And they will come back with a vengeance.
And please appreciate every second of the free laughter I'm giving you, because as soon as you have a job again, I'm making all you bitches pay.
Well, as soon as you can perform out, I'm sure they'd be happy to come see you in the club.
Well, you pack the houses, you know, like people don't realize that. Yeah.
I mean, really, I mean, at Comedy Bar, which is my home club, they can seat, I mean, when we'll be back to capacity, 150 people, Laugh Factory's around 300. And it is just so much fun because when I'm doing a full weekend somewhere, if you come see me on Friday night, a lot of people come back for Sunday because it's completely different shows. Mm. It's a completely different show, so it's always fun. So if you see me once, you've not seen everything, and that's why I love getting to come back on this podcast so much.
Always fresh, like a summer's eve.
I know, right? I douche for you every time, like a real, real lady.
You are that small voice that calls up the fairies.
Well, thank you.
I don't know why, but when you do that small voice, it reminds me of, do you remember Georgia on the Mary Tyler Moore show? She talked really slow and she didn't know anything.
That reminds me, you sound like James Mansfield.
I was thinking the same thing. Exactly.
Hey, all to remind folks, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus.
Hey, James Mansfield, can you promote our social media?
Hi, guys. It's James Mansfielder. I don't know, another homosexual. We're all the same. And you guys should definitely follow Feast of Fun on Twitter and on Instagram and go to feastoffun.com. And you should also buy a bidet.
And follow Matt Brown Comic at MS. Hold on. James Mansfield, quiet you. MS Matt Brown. No, MS Matt Brown, right?
No!
Miss Brown.
Miss Brown.
Comic.
Miss Brown Comedy. Brown Comedy.
Miss Brown Comedy. Miss Brown Comedy on Instagram. MissBrownComedy.com.
I'm sorry I fucked it up. MS.
20 times.
Who is it? So muscular sclerosis Brown Comedy.
Multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy Brown.
One of those
Jerry
things.
Lewis Telethon Brown.
All right, nice lady, but no gender non-confirming person, please don't cancel me.
I'm trying. You know, you should really look up, you need to look up the video of Jerry Lewis getting interviewed. It's called like 7 Awkward Minutes with Jerry Lewis.
Oh,
he gives one word. It is so funny. It's the funniest thing that's ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was like when Jerry Seinfeld interviewed him, he was so open to him. And yeah. it was such a difference, you know? Yeah.
Is it any different than it was in 1947? No.
Well, we've had some awkward interviews. I think, you know, the interview with Amanda Lepore and the person who's getting all their piercings from Dead
Pete
or
Burns.
Alive, Pete Burns.
Well, I just want to say in Amanda's defense that sometimes when it takes you an hour to make a sentence, you forget where you started.
I would just like to say that as Amanda for Amanda.
I'm going to steal that one.
Because she's like the female, she's like the woman James Cagney with the, it takes 5 years to get one word out. He would stutter and she just gets lost. I think, I don't know if she's on pills or just happier than me, but Amanda just like zones out in the middle of a sentence and it's my favorite thing.
And folks, remember, Feast of Fun is made possible because of your financial support. Please, for Mark Feeling's birthday, make it a happy birthday. Go to feastoffun.com/donate and, you know, give a little bit, give a lot. If you had a stimulus check, we didn't have one. You know, the Cash App, you can also send some money-hunty, PayPal. What?
Venmo.
$5 Venmo. Is this all the same? Venmo, yes. Cash App, PayPal is Feast of Fun. Of course, on PayPal, it's mail@feastoffun.com. But you can always, you know, show your appreciation. Of course, you can also tip Matt Brown.
Send Matt Brown money on all your favorite apps.
Or you know, dick pics. Either
I'll take dick pics if you've got a fat ass or you just own a lot of property in a cheap area.
You know, like if you really a lot
me,
of fun.
If you want to send me a picture of your ranch and ask me to move in with you, that'll be nice too.
Let's go on vacation to, like, you know, Puerto Rico.
The south of Spain.
The south of Spain is a little pricey, but
are you kidding? Spain is the cheapest country you can go to in Europe.
I'm just saying, if you want to take me on a 2 week,
cheaper, yeah.
If you want to take me on in Europe, if you want to take me on a 2 week vacation anywhere out of this country where they don't speak English, I will take 4 Valium and let you enjoy the slave you just bought.
Oh my God!
Just whatever it takes, whatever's going on, I'll deal with it.
You do that, Matt. Listen, I got to go celebrate the rest of my birthday. It's been fun.
Love you guys.
I know the boys are waiting.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.